T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's down to the Sandy Springs office where Hugh Douglas broadcasts from, the Dunwoody office with Abe Gordon, the East Atlanta office with Tenedra Batista and our buddy Oren Romaine, holding down the fort at the mothership at 14th and Peachtree here. A lot to come on the program later in this hour, about 40 minutes from now, if you're out and about this morning and you're doing work and delivering and doing construction and whatnot. Lloyd Pierce, head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, also on the program in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk with Jason Longshore and catch up a little bit later with our buddies Chad Millman and Will Carroll, talking some odds and injuries a little bit later in the program. But, Hugh, just a little bit of a catch-up on some of the stories that are out there in regards to the quarantine. And there was a lot of chatter about Wayne Brady is a guy that's very popular and obviously game show host and actor and whatnot, comedian, and has a huge following. And he announces yesterday that he is going to self-isolate, which is fine. But when he announces, Hugh, that he's going to self-isolate with his ex-wife and her boyfriend, everybody went, huh?
Yeah, that when I heard that story, it just sounded a little weird to me. I mean, why anyway on God's green earth would you want to do that?
Well, first off, with your ex-wife, but then with your ex-wife and her boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand the premise of the story. I mean, I don't understand why would he do that. I mean, that's the thing that I'm saying. Why would he do that? What is the purpose of him isolating with them?
Yeah. Let's make a deal here of some kind. I don't know. It beats me. What's behind door number 3? I have no idea. On its surface, it looks a little weird, sounds a little weird. Tiger Woods is making news this morning again. We had heard earlier in the week that Phil Mickelson said something about, you know, doing some kind of a live golf thing with Tiger again where they would mic themselves up. Now it's expanded. Apparently it's going to be, they're talking about a charity event live on TV where they play 18 holes of golf, and it would be not 2 but 4, and it would include not just Phil and Tiger but Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Oh, they're trying to spice it up, but John, I think you kind of moved on from the Wayne Brady story a little bit too fast. Wait, man.
All right, sorry, we go back.
No, I'm saying because it like listening to the story, I mean basically his rationale is they've been friends forever, and basically, like, they have a different type of relationship. I don't know what type of relationship I would want to have with, like, I'm quarantined with somebody for a couple of weeks with their boyfriend. And come on now, man, because you know at some point it's 3 of y'all in the house. Like, come on. And you know, it's 3 of y'all. And if you're there for weeks at a time, at some point during the time that they're there, it's going to get real uncomfortable. You follow me? And why would you even want to be there for any of that, man? That's ridiculous to me. I just think that's kind of ridiculous. I don't care how cool we are. I know they got kids together and things of that nature. But I don't care how cool we are. I'm not trying to be a part of none of that. None of that grown folk activity that you got going on with her living there and him being there too. No, nope. Not at all.
Yeah, you know, the big love thing is real, obviously. I mean,
for some people.
It doesn't matter
to
me.
God bless any man or woman for that matter that is mature enough to be in those grown folks situations and be cool with any of that. God bless you, truly.
You know, because the Maven watches this show Sister Wives, which is it's a reality show, and it's about a guy with his 4 wives, and it's true. It's a reality show, and all their kids, and they seem, relatively well adjusted. But, you know, he's got four wives and I don't know how many kids. I'm 15.
Well, like they
something.
Say, it takes a village, I guess. You know, and I guess they're living by that premise that it definitely takes a village. So, you know, there it is.
Yeah, I look at it and I go, I couldn't handle that. I mean, it would drive me nuts.
I mean, it takes a special kind of guy. Now, yeah. I would venture to say that that's the case. It would take a special kind of individual, and God bless any man that would be in a position that he's comfortable with that. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. That is a lot to deal with.
Well, you mentioned you talk about quarantine and chill, right? And
yeah,
that's a different way to do it. Wayne Brady's talk of the town right now. We'll see how that all kind of works out. Back to this Tiger story here. It sounds, Hugh, like this is a possibility here that we could have, you know, a live event on TV for charity. And I guess they figure that it wouldn't involve that many people. And so if you could get, you know, everybody cleared medically to go out and be part of this, that you could have this golf event. And if they did it, I would imagine it would get huge ratings. And if it's for charity, that may soften the outcry from some people as to whether or not they're even doing it, I think.
You know, I'm all for charity. I still wouldn't want to see that. I still that's something that I definitely would definitely still not want to see. Even if they brought in Tom Brady, still don't want to see that.
Is that just because you're opposed to the concept of this at this time, or it just doesn't interest you?
No, it's not that I'm opposed to it. I mean, the timing does not bother me. It's just that I just wouldn't want to see that. I mean, that's, you know, see two guys playing golf. No, I definitely wouldn't want to see that. Obviously two of the greatest to play the game. No, I still definitely wouldn't want to see that. Just not a golf fan like that.
Yeah, I get that, and that's fine. It's interesting, you know, if they did do this in the next couple of weeks, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know why I'm thinking that, and I haven't read deeper into the story here, but, you know, if they did do this in the next couple of weeks this month and did it for charity, a couple of things are true. It would get big ratings, but it would generate a lot of, I think, controversy. I mean, most of America, like Georgia, is now starting to either be on lockdown or move towards lockdown and shelter in place. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you have these guys out there who are playing golf, even for a good cause, even four popular guys like, you know, Tiger and Phil and Brady and Peyton. I think it'd be interesting to see if they would take a lot of flack for this, Hugh.
You mean people mad because they're trying to get back to normal? I mean, I look at it like this. It's not like they're getting elective surgery. It's nothing like that. I think that at this point, if people tune into it, John, they just want something to take their mind off of the day-to-day worry of what they're dealing with right now. You know, I mean, I that's how I look at it. There's a lot of realness that's going on in the world. You know, it's funny. I think about those people that used to tell us all the time to, like, stick to sports and not talk about other stuff. Now that we don't have any sports, the only thing that we can talk about is other stuff, and they wish that sports was here. You know what I mean? So I think at this point, it'd be welcome to have just something else to talk about besides the stuff that's worrying you to death on a day-to-day basis.
No, I agree with you, and that's why I say I think it's sort of like – but you see this different reaction. Like, for example, I know that, you know, I think it was in the morning mashup. We're having Bill Belichick today and Samuel L. Jackson issue these pleas for people to stay at home, which I think is absolutely fine, by the way. And I hope that people do kind of self-isolate or quarantine without having to be, you know, told to shelter in place to try to flatten the curve on this thing. I totally get it. But there's still that in and of itself isn't as non-controversial as you think it is. You think everybody would agree with that. There are a lot of people that don't. They get mad at the stars like Samuel L. and Belichick by saying, oh, it's easy for you to say. You're a millionaire and you have a job. I got to pay my mortgage.
Yeah,
you know, you're telling me
I
got to stay at home.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that. That's the reality of it. You know, but at the same time, you know, there's, you know, the essential personnel and the non-essential personnel. We're just trying to stay safe. And I know, you know, looking around at other people that are dealing with stuff, you know, yesterday, the first of the month, people still had to pay bills. It's a tough spot to be in. But at the same time, we got to try to flatten this thing out, John, because people are dying. Like, it's very, very serious. So you're trying to slow this down as much as we possibly can.
We are talking about some of the things to catch up on the quarantine here. We understand that the release of the Jordan documentary has been moved up, and I expected some of this to happen. You know, you have a captive audience, and you're going to – as a matter of fact, I'm sort of surprised you a little bit that we haven't seen, unless they're just not, you know, done and ready, some of these Prime and Netflix series that are slated for May and June moved up to now because they have, you know, the potential for such a massive audience that's you know, stuck at home and looking for something to watch. But
from what I read though, John, not to cut you off, but LeBron helped move that Jordan documentary up a little bit. I heard that he put a little bit of pressure on folks to help move that documentary up a little bit.
Yeah, the thing about the Jordan documentary, episodes 1 and 2 will now be starting and dropped on April the 19th. I'm wondering what we expect out of this Jordan documentary because, you know, look, I'm a Michael Jordan fan. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to see him play, you know, basketball at college and the pros. I saw him play golf. I saw him play professional baseball up in Chattanooga when he was with the Birmingham Barons. So I've seen him, you know, in person and talked to him a number of times, and I'm a huge fan of Michael Jordan. I'm one of the Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time guys. But of course, there are those unanswered questions about Michael, especially revolving around his father's murder, and the gambling, and why he went to play baseball to begin with. And I wonder how hard they'll address those. And
probably, you know, not that hard. Yeah, probably not hard at all. Why would you? Why would you? Why would you at that point? I mean, I understand what you're. Don't get me wrong. I understand where you're coming from. I understand what you're saying because that's a part of his life. But I don't think that they will. I really don't. I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, okay. I guess my point in this is, you know, I mean, why pick at that? I mean, I don't know that they will. It's certainly always been, you know, one of those things a lot of people talk about. But I'm like, let's say he was gambling. So what? He's a multimillionaire. Phil Mickelson gambles on everything. I have no problem with this, unless he was rigging games, which I don't think he was.
I mean, I guess my question would be, By you bringing that up, John, what are you implying? That he owed money to somebody and that's what they killed his father? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know what the real story is. That's certainly one of the thoughts, yes. That he was told to leave the NBA because something had happened. He was told he didn't just up and say, oh, I think I'm going to leave the NBA and go try baseball. That there was a reason that David Stern said, you got to leave the league. And so that's always hung over kind of him. We don't know why. And I don't really care. But my point to you is, I don't care why. Even if there was, he came back, he was in the good graces, and I think that Michael Jordan is, you know, iconic. And whatever he did or did not do doesn't change or affect my opinion of him at all. And I just don't know that we need to – no reason for us to go there.
See, John, you gave me a lot to chew on. I don't. If that's how you're feeling, I don't agree with that. From what I'm understanding, if you're thinking that he did something that caused him to be put out of the NBA, I think that's something that needs to be talked about.
No, I don't know that that's the case.
That's kind of what you're saying, though. I mean,
I'm saying a lot of people do think that. Yes. Yeah, that's always been a thing. That a lot of people think that the only reason he went to play baseball was that he was told to go play baseball. Now, whether that's true or not, and whether the documentary shows that, I have no idea. Some of the NFL headlines. A player who's been out, a star player who's been out of the NFL for 4 years. He is suddenly back in the NFL. Who? Where's he going? And why is he back in the NFL? Next, with John and Hugh, after a CBS Sports Minute, we stream 24/7, 365 across America at radio.com. The sounds of the National Football League. Today is 3 weeks ahead of the NFL draft. 3 weeks from today, the NFL draft. And there's a story about the NFL draft in just a moment that has some people a little bit up in arms here. John and Hugh on the morning show here. Let's run through some of these kind of cool headlines this morning. Number one out of the headlines here, Aldon Smith is back in the NFL. Was a time when Aldon Smith was one of the best defensive linemen in the league, had all sorts of personal issues, and was eventually let go by the Niners and out of the league. The Cowboys have brought him back. He's been gone for 4 years, Hugh, a one-year deal, and Aldon Smith says he's got his he spent this time, you know, kind of clearing his head, getting right, and becoming a better person. And so the Cowboys are going to take a flyer on him, and we'll see what Aldon Smith has. He's 30 years old and hasn't played in 4 years. This is a gamble on the part of the Cowboys, but a gamble that has no real downside, I don't see, and has the potential to be a huge upside move.
You know what's funny about the Dallas Cowboys? It doesn't surprise me that they would do something like this. They're known for taking flyers on guys who've had checkered past in the past. And so it doesn't surprise me that they would do something like this. When Aldon Smith was playing, Aldon Smith was a beast when he was with San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one time when he was with the Raiders, he was a pretty good player too. So, yeah, I'm not mad at him for doing this, man, because if you can get a little bit of production out of Aldon Smith, that's a good thing for your program.
Yeah, I imagine, Hugh, can you, and of course you didn't do this, so you don't have to imagine too, but you'd have more of an insight than most of us because you played. How tough would it be to be gone for 4 years?
You know, John, I have no clue. I mean, it all depends on how he's been working out, how he's been taking care of his body. Obviously, for the Dallas Cowboys to sign him, they must have worked him out, I'm assuming. Well, who knows? In this day and age, coronavirus and all this other stuff. But they must feel pretty good about his shape, the shape that he's in, his physicality. So that's why they signed him. And you know, I don't know the ins and outs of the deal and how much he got, but I think in this case it wouldn't hurt, you know, to just take a flyer on him and see what he can do.
Jadeveon Clowney has reportedly, lowered his price from $20 million a year down to about $17 to $18 million a year. Let's not forget, Hugh, that he turned down an offer from the Dolphins for $17 million. Do you think he might have made a mistake in turning down the Miami offer?
You know what? For him to change his mind now, I'm thinking maybe he didn't want to go to Miami. And maybe that's why he did it. And then when he finally realized that, you know, that was his only real offer for the kind of money that he was asking for, then he changed his mind and said, okay, I'll bring it down. But I don't think he really wanted to go to Miami in the first place.
Yeah, I think you may be right. That's a pretty good analysis because, you know, despite the fact the Dolphins actually could be decent this year, he didn't want to go play for them. The NFL draft we mentioned is 3 weeks away, and we're going to be doing it virtually. My understanding is, I think we all – you're going to have the commissioner at one on one camera at a podium. You're going to have the hosts in another place with a set. You're going to have 32 teams with 32 cameras, and you're going to have 50 players that they're sending these units out to that have cameras in them, sort of like Skype cameras, that they'll be able to set up wherever they're sheltering in place at the moment here. So the Saints decide, because of the Benson family owns this big brew pub, that they're going to do their war room at the brew pub because it's not being used for anything because, you know, the bars and restaurants are closed. And so they're going to set up at the brew pub. The Saints are getting a lot of flack. A lot.
Because they set it up at a brew pub that the owner owns.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having it there and nobody's there.
They're getting a lot of flack to have it at the Dixie Brewery. And I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, what's the difference? Are they going to be in a war room, or I guess because they have to drive there? I don't know. It's kind of interesting, right?
I don't understand that one. I think I need to find out a little bit more about that one, John. I can't really respond to that. That to me just sounds crazy. You're mad because they're hosting a draft at an establishment that the owner owns. I don't get that part. I don't understand what's the backlash for. Is it because it's I don't know. Nobody's going to be there. It's not going to be, you know, a lot of people there. It's just a space thing, I would think. It would be no different than holding it at the Saints facility, I would imagine. They're just having it at a public place that they own. You know, it's almost like having the draft at the coach's home or the owner's home in a certain sense. I don't understand that one. I had to read up about that one a little bit more and see what the problem is with that.
Yeah, three weeks from today for the NFL draft, and I think we're all looking forward to this. Couple of other NFL notes, John and Hugh, broadcasting all over Metro Atlanta in the Mobile Kia Studios this morning, looking at some of the headlines in the NFL. Lamar Jackson was seen working out with Antonio Brown, and Marquise Brown was also there, Hollywood Brown. They're cousins, right, yeah.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown was working out with Lamar Jackson. A couple of questions about this. Are we to start thinking that you're going to see, like, Hayden Hurst work out with Matt Ryan? We're going to start seeing guys get together and hold workouts? And second to that is, how does Antonio Brown on the Ravens sound to you?
Antonio Brown's on the road. He's just trying to find a job right now. How about a couple of days ago, Antonio Brown said he's the best receiver in the game. He's better than Julio and called him out by name.
Right.
That was kind of ridiculous to me, you know, trying to disrespect Julio like that. But that's something else. But as far as guys working out together, I don't think so. I think that, you know, with this new information coming out about the coronavirus and being asymptomatic and being a potential carrier, I don't think anybody wants to take that chance if you're trying to be safe. And you're talking about Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has little kids at home, and I know that, you know, the little kids are probably, you know, the ones that are prone to this, but still, you don't want that around your family. So, no, I don't think so. I think everybody's going to do exactly what they're supposed to do in their self-quarantine, and they're going to try to play it safe. Better safe than sorry, John Freaking.
Yeah, I agree with you. Is Antonio Brown, do you think Antonio Brown's going back into the league, Hugh? Do you think that's going to happen?
I think that he thinks it's going to happen.
I agree with that.
That he thinks that he has a chance to get back in the league. There's no telling what he's being told. As far as today is concerned, I don't know what his relationship is with Drew Rosenhaus anymore. I know that they didn't have one for a time being. I don't know if that they have repaired that, but I don't know. I don't think so. I think he feels strongly about his ability and that he can help a team out, but I don't think a team is going to willing to take a flyer on it, John. You're talking about probably, potentially, in the first two rounds of the NFL draft, there's probably going to be 20 receivers taken. 20 receivers taken in the first two rounds. Of the NFL draft that don't have the history that Antonio Brown has. I can't see a team taking a chance on him right now. Now, I might be wrong about that. I mean, because he is a phenomenal talent, but you got a lot of guys that are coming out this year that have way less baggage than he has, and that could probably come in and just help your team out like right now. So why would you take a chance on a guy like that? I don't think so.
Yeah, and the first step of this is that Antonio Brown, the commissioner, is going to have to say okay. And then, you know what?
I could be wrong because, hell, Aldis Smith is back in the league. Aldis Smith was gone for 4 years and he's back in. So who knows? Who knows how it's going to play out for him?
And one other quick quarterback note ahead of the draft, Tua Tagovailoa out there saying he is now, and of course he put a video out there, and then you had Lee Steinberg and his people saying, hey, Tua is 100% according to our doctors, his agent. Tua is saying he is 100% and he could play right now today. So, Hugh, whoever takes him at this point, unless things change drastically 3 weeks ahead of the draft, which, frankly, they're not going to change, you're going to have to now assume that the video and what Steinberg's doctors say and whatever you saw at the combine and whatever Tua says, you're going to have to take that on faith. I think that's going to have to be enough.
I think that's going to have to be enough, and that's why they're coming out and being adamant about him being healthy. Because I think at this point, they're starting to hear that it might affect his draft status because teams can't look at him. You know, at this point, John, if a team was serious, say Miami Dolphins, if they were serious about taking Tua Tagovailoa, he'd have been in Miami by now. We would have had stories about him being down there and him, you know, the pro day and all this other stuff him doing and just seeing how he is. We'd have had all of that. They don't have a chance to do that. That's the thing that teams are most concerned about. They're concerned about how healthy he is and if he's truly ready to play, because you're talking about a young man who, when he had this injury, a lot of people were more concerned about his quality of life, less than him playing football ever again. They just wanted to know if he was ever going to be able to walk normally again. You know, the surgery was a success. You know, everybody said it, but teams still want to look at the guy like that. They want to look at him because they're about to make a major investment in Tua Tagovailoa.
Is it? I wonder if it's more, Hugh. Can Tua play now versus, okay, we get him in and realize he can't play now and we have to use a veteran for a year, and can he play in the future? I think it's more a long-term question than the short-term question is, could he play now? The long-term question is, if he can't play now, can he play in a year and then theoretically play for 15 years? I think it's more, to me, it's more of a long-term question than a short-term question, because if you drafted him and he couldn't play now and you had to, you know, do something for a year, you could probably make that work. But if you invest in him and he can't play, period, and turns out to be somebody that you don't get anything out of ever, that's where it gets to be problematic.
Yeah, that's no good. That's no good right there. And I think that's what a lot of teams are trying to guard against. They don't know. I mean, that's the biggest thing, John. They don't know. And they're trying to find out. They're trying to find out right now. That's why, you know, teams are freaking out a little bit about the fact that they can't go see guys. You know, that this would be the norm for the NFL right now, going to see guys, having them in, having them take their physical, having them look at their doctors, look at them and do things like that. That has not been the case this year. It's just been a tough year for everybody as far as being able to evaluate players. So now you have to evaluate guys on the video that they're showing and on faith, really.
Yep, on faith. He's still going to be drafted really high because somebody's going to take a flyer on him. You can't – look, the NFL, even if you hate Alabama, if you're an Auburn fan or Tennessee or Georgia, whatever, you hate Alabama, Clemson fan, we all understand that the NFL would be better if Tua Tagovailoa were healthy and spent 15 years as a star player in the league. It just would be. Lloyd Pierce, Atlanta Hawks head coach, standing by. We're going to talk with the head coach live. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, streaming 24/7 across the world. Get the app. It's free. Radio.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, broadcasting worldwide on Radio.com as we talk a little Atlanta Hawks basketball, a little NBA with the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce, who joins us this morning. Morning to you, Coach.
Morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Coach, how you doing? And first of all, how are you handling being at home, like, all the time now?
I think now we're on a pretty steady routine. Having a 19-month-old, 20-month-old almost is makes it a lot easier because we're on her schedule. We got about an hour before she wakes up, and we got 5 hours of getting her fed, letting her run around, potentially going out front and playing, or in the back and playing, and get her down for a nap at about 1:30, 2 o'clock. But everything's really revolves around her schedule, her time. My wife and I are either together or splitting up the duties while we're trying to get some other stuff done as well.
Yeah, that sounds about how it is when you have youngins running around the house like that. Yeah. That sounds about right. So, Coach, talking a little bit of basketball and these virtual meetings that you're having, how are they going, and what have you had to change, if anything, about these virtual meetings because you don't get to physically see everybody?
Well, with the team, we've only had one. We've got another one scheduled for Sunday afternoon. And the first one was really – it was very informal. The whole purpose was to just get everybody to the meeting and then just kind of catch up on where everyone is, how everyone's doing, what everyone's doing. And, it's different. We're all on either cell phones or computers. Guys are in different places. Trey's in his basement at his parents' home, or his office at his parents' home in Oklahoma. Kevin was in his, his basement at his parents' home in New York. Cam, DeAndre, those guys are sitting in their living rooms or their apartments. Jeff Teague's out in Indiana. So everyone's just in a different spot of their house or their apartment. And, it was a pretty much a free-for-all. We're just talking over each other, talking to each other. Guys were making fun of guys that hadn't shaved or gotten a haircut in a while. I just tried to provide a few updates with regards to just kind of where we are and what some of the team thinking is, the NBA thinking is, some of the updates that I've received overall. Nothing real formal. We're going to have another meeting on Sunday like we talked about, and Tony Ressler, our owner, will join in and give kind of his take from the ownership standpoint about how to just brace through the next 5 to 8 to 10 to whatever the number is, weeks or so that we need to.
Yeah, you mentioned the hair thing. I was thinking about that. There's going to be a line, Hugh and Coach, at the barbershop when this is done, man.
You know what's funny? I was about to ask Coach about how is he holding out with his haircut, but if Coach like me, he cutting his own hair. He doing his own barbershop tactics.
All I need is a razor.
That's it.
I keep it bald and low trim all the way through. So all I need is a razor, and every third day, and I'm fine.
That's it.
To worry about after a while.
That's it.
Right. Yeah, well, as my wife said, we're about to find the natural color of every woman's hair out there in America. is about to happen. Lloyd Pierce, head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. So tomorrow night, Trae Young is the number 2 seed, and ESPN is going to broadcast this live, the NBA 2K tournament here. I would imagine that's going to be pretty fun for him, and I think it's going to be fun for the fans to watch this. I know that you have a 2K team. We talked to the head coach, Wesley Acuff, yesterday, the Hawks Talon Gaming Club, but it will be at least a nice little diversion. I think it'll be interesting to see the team and how they react to Trae playing.
You know, I wish I knew much about video games. I know absolutely zero about them, except for the fact that our guys are all spending a lot of time playing them right now. I think it will be a great idea. I think it's a great idea to do anything to get the fans involved and engaged. I'm hoping this is a game that Trae is pretty good at. He had mentioned that he was learning how to play video games during this period, because it's not something he does pretty consistently, but this might be one that he's pretty familiar with it being NBA 2K. I've never played. I haven't seen one. I just think it's more about keeping the guys engaged, giving something for the fans, and doing it in an alternative way.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Coach Lloyd Pierce, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, Coach, with that being said, not playing NBA 2K or anything like that, are you going to tune in to watch him play? And then if you do, after that, are you going to critique him on his game style a little bit? Or are you just going to let him go ahead and have it?
I will not. I think you guys need to get Wesley on that one. He's the expert on the gaming side of things. I met with Wesley earlier in the season just so he could explain kind of how the gaming situation works and some of the tactics he uses. You know, it's a full-fledged ordeal. It was a lot more than I had anticipated in terms of them practicing and how they practice and what they practice. So he's the expert coach in that field, and we may have to align Trae with Wesley and get some tips from him.
Hey, Coach, I got to tell you, Coach, I saw them practice. It's no joke. I mean, it is no joke. and them building their players and everything, it's amazing how involved – like that and the NBA 2K and Madden, how involved people are with those games. It's bananas.
Right. It's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I would imagine, Coach, it would be hard for you not to want to be on the phone with him during this, and like, on speaker saying, get back.
I think it's about their own creativity in that one, similar to how our games are played. But no, it sounds like a good idea. It sounds like it's going to be fun. What I think it's probably going to be, if they're matched up and they're online or communicating with each other, it's probably going to be a lot of trash talking, which makes it even more fun. If anything, that's what I want to sit there and listen to is how they interact and trash talk during these games.
Lloyd Pierce joining us as we work through this. One thing I am kind of curious, we've been talking a little bit about, the NBA and Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, and once we get the green light, how long it takes to ramp up. In your mind, notwithstanding whether you would go to one city and forget about that story, that part of it, that angle of it, but how long, you get the green light, Coach, and they say, okay, you guys can, tomorrow you can start practicing. From that moment that you can start practicing, how long do you think, Lloyd Pierce, it would take you to get this team game ready?
You know, it's such an unknown right now. The closest thing I can think of, and it's really not even close, was the lockout. The last lockout we had, I think in 2012, maybe it was a year. I was in Memphis. I was just starting up in Memphis because it was my first year was coming out of the lockout, and I think we had a week to prepare, and we were playing games. Now, this is a major difference because at that point, you could still go to gyms. You could still work out. Guys were playing in random leagues against each other. Basketball was still alive. Basketball is not alive for a lot of people right now. Some of our guys have probably not touched a basketball. If they live in apartments, if they have a basketball in their apartment, that's the closest thing they can do. Who knows if they're ball handling in there or not, but it's just going to take a while, I think, maybe in that first week, just to figure out what everyone's body type is like, and to get on the floor, to do some impact running, some impact moving, to do some shooting. And then it's going to take another week, in terms of just practicing. To throw an NBA body on the floor, after 3 months, after 2 months, whatever the number may end up being, that's where you can get yourself in trouble. And I think we'll all have to be mindful about that. But I don't know. I don't have an answer in terms of an athlete and how long they've been off the court, completely off the court. It's similar to just coming back from an injury. You just have to go through that trial period of getting on the floor, being evaluated, and then testing it out, and then trying to grow from there. So, you know, I would say at least 2 weeks for anyone of just normal basketball activity. But this is so different; it's so unknown. I'm just guessing with the number that we have.
Then you're hoping that folks don't come back too fluffy too, because I know that has to be a conversation, Coach, coming back a little fluffy.
Well, I mean, that's what we're all thinking right now is, you know, we're all bunkered in. We've got our routine down. And so now it's all right, you know, instead of just watching movies, you know, what can you do that's productive? Instead of just eating the same old junk, you know, what can you do that's a little more structured in terms of your meal and how it's being prepared and what you're learning to cook? You know, that's a very, very important part of it. And for some guys that aren't used to doing it, they're learning how to do it. And that's, you know, some of the things we'll talk about in our meeting on Sunday with the team.
Coach, do appreciate you taking a few minutes. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Coach.
You got it. You guys have a good one. Safe.
You too.
Lloyd Pierce, head coach of the Atlanta Hawks on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. What are the experts saying about the Atlanta Falcons and their pick at 16? With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.